From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
This year alone, it's estimated there will be more than 250,000 new cases of breast cancer diagnosed in the U.S. Among African American women, breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer and the second leading cause of cancer death. My guest today has faced this disease head on. She is a cancer surgeon and a cancer survivor. Dr. Lori Wilson, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So I have to give my full disclosure. You're one of my closest friends. And unfortunately, we've known each other too long for me to admit how long.
Yeah, please don't.
but saying that, it certainly has given me a unique insight. And obviously, recently, you participated in the PBS documentary, Cancer, Emperor of All Maladies, which took us through a bit of a history of breast cancer treatments, but really, I think the highlight of it was your own personal journey with your cancer. And if you can probably tell me what really participating in the show was like before we really get into the issues of breast cancer and how you view the disease.
Sure. You know, it's interesting because and you know me well, this would probably not be something I would choose for myself. However, I thought it was so important to be able to share the story. So much of what we know about breast cancer really is about the diagnosis, the prevention, the treatment, but not a tremendous amount of cancer discussion is about the family, the caregivers. It's about the journey. It's about all of the things that go along with the diagnosis. And I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to share those things.
Yeah, and you know, I think we certainly appreciate that. But tell me what it was like to first hear about the diagnosis.
Sure. I was diagnosed after my son turned a year and a half. I was doing the healthy thing. I was breastfeeding, you know, and because I'm over the age of 40, we won't say how many years, but I'm over the age of 40. The recommendation by, of course, the American Cancer Society is that you have your mammogram. And they usually recommend that you have your mammogram 3 to 4 months after you stop breastfeeding. And so when that time came, one of my breasts didn't go down to the size that I expected. And so for me, that was definitely a red flag. It was something that I was concerned about. So, of course, I went to have my preventative or my mammogram, have an ultrasound, and was diagnosed after having a biopsy of the expected abnormality. However, during that time, they also found a breast cancer on the other side, which I think really was devastating for me. I have two different types of breast cancer. I have one that's an invasive lobular, which is what I expected. And then on the other, it's a invasive ductal, also known as triple negative breast cancer. When I was diagnosed, and it's a scary diagnosis, you know. I heard about it actually over the phone. And, of course, the first call I made was to my husband and then, of course, to friends like you and to really begin the process of what the next step should be.
You know, we both practice in the same field as surgical oncologists. Mm-hmm. You graduated from Georgetown University, but we both started our residency together in 1994, and our career paths have certainly passed. How much of your past medical experience and your experience, quite frankly, with telling patients about their diagnosis, you think factored in how well or how poorly you initially dealt with the news, and then how much it affected your progress during your treatment?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think that I've had a chance to deal with cancer through many parts of my life. My mother was diagnosed with lung cancer when I was finishing my last year of training as a surgery resident, and I spent the year caring for her and experiencing cancer from a caretaker standpoint. One of the things that I promised my mother, that we promised my mother, is that she would never have to leave home if that's what she wanted. And she wanted to stay home throughout the entire end of her life. And so we spent time caring for my mother, and that really taught me a tremendous amount about humility, about the strength that people have in letting go and allowing other people to care for you. When I was diagnosed, one of the things that I regretted when I looked back on my time taking care of my mother is that I felt that I had to manage her care as a physician. And what she really needed was a daughter. She needed someone to love and care and just go with the journey with her. And so when I received my diagnosis, knowing what I know about breast cancer, knowing what I know about where I was from a staging and prognosis standpoint, I was terrified. You know, I was weepy. Honestly, I was afraid. But I knew that I had the best people that I could, as friends and as caretakers, and that I was going to take this on as a patient.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Laurie Wilson. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, just changing gears a bit, you also are the program director for the general surgery residency at Howard, managing about 33 residents through their training. And I think one of the things that has to be highlighted about Howard University's general surgery residency is the prolific nature with which we have produced female surgeons like yourself. Mm-hmm. What has that been like to take over the mantle of leadership of a surgical residency program where you trained?
It has been one of the most challenging, but one of the most gratifying experiences of my life. There are lots of experiences that I had as a resident and as an attending that really has changed tremendously in the current atmosphere for healthcare, for resident education. And so trying to stay current, pertinent, and making sure that we have the best possible residency is always something that's on the forefront of my mind. However, we have the brightest minds in the country. We have the best residents I could ever have, and I always, you know, am patting them on the back for all the wonderful things that they do to make us look good.
You know, obviously, the practice of medicine today, as you've alluded to, is very different from when we started our training, and that was just in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. So to your point, with that changing landscape, do you think the busyness of the practices have taken away some of the compassion of the human interaction?
Wow, that is a question that I've thought about tremendously over especially over the time since I've received my diagnosis. I think we can't lose the empathy that we have for patients. Like, we cannot lose the compassion. It is the center of what we should be providing for our patients. As I have moved through my career, there are things that have been just non-negotiable. Non-negotiable for me is ever allowing anything to get in between me and my patients. I think that patients deserve the care and empathy and excellence that we can give in not only our surgical technique, but also in the environment and the care that we provide for them. And so it is definitely not an easy, thing to accomplish. But the busyness, you kind of have to set aside and realize that that's going to be a part of what you do. You evolve, but the care of our patients and the compassion that we show for them, I want every patient to know that I am in it 150% every moment.
Is there anything you now incorporate into your practice that you would consider different as a result of the journey that you are now traveling on?
I think I'm more cognizant. I try to be more in touch now, realizing that everything that occurs that I do may have a significant impact on my patients, even the smallest thing. And so I am really trying to be present and aware of everything that I ask of my patients. And I think that was probably one of the things that stood out to me. Being a surgical oncologist, having an opportunity to know what the guidelines and what the evaluations are didn't make it any easier going through. So now I think I'm thoughtful of all of the things that I ask my patients to do, and hopefully put in place those things that will help them be successful in that.
Now, African-American women, breast cancer mortality, the death rate is about 44% higher than their white counterparts. What do you think are the factors that underscore this, and what do you think we should be doing as a nation for what I think is a public health epidemic?
There is definitely a disparity that we're seeing in breast cancer as it relates to African American women. I don't think that we have all the answers. So my true belief is that there needs to be a significant shift in the resources that are provided for research in this area. When we look at the incidence, when we look at mortality, even though the incidence is lower, women are more likely to die. African-American women are more likely to die of breast cancer. They're more likely to be diagnosed with regional disease, which means it's not just isolated to the breast where with the best possible prognosis, that it can be found in the breast and lymph nodes. That there is something about the disease that we see in African-American women that is more aggressive. It has worse, when we look at it under the microscope, it looks worse. When we look at the features, the things that we've associated with worse survival, such as that triple negative, ER, PR, HER2 new negative status, occurs more commonly with a greater incidence in African-American women. When we look at younger women between the age of 40 and 50, it's more aggressive. It occurs more, more new cases occur in African-American women. So there's definitely something different about the disease. And even when you look at the two line, you know, in their, I know that it's difficult for us to look at some of the statistics, but even when you look at the statistics, there was a time where the rates were similar. Mm-hmm. It peaked and it has never come back. So there's something going on with the way that we're treating that hopefully we can learn how to do differently so we can close that gap.
Well, thanks for being here. My guest today has been my very dear friend, Dr. Lori Wilson. I believe that grace is the source that goes between love and life, and I think that you've been blessed with an abundance of it, and I think the world got to see it as you traverse this journey, a difficult journey, but one that I think that you will do very well with, and it will leave a legacy to instruct all of us as to how to manage things with grace. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.